ವಾಂಚಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯೈವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ್ ಶಿವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ.
ವಾಸ್ ದಟ್? I want a wireless mic for the audience. Can we have somebody assigned to run around with it? You need more weight to lose, or? Hare Krishna. So I'm supposed to start at 3:15. It's 3:18, and I have up to 4:15 because Maharaj's class is at 4:30. So I have to be on time. I'm very impressed that we have so many people here, because it is after lunch, right? So you probably made a big yes to Krishna to even show up. So I'm very, very grateful to you. This is your first step in your yes to Krishna journey, I assume. Just kidding. This after lunch session is the best. It's also the worst. Krishna says your mind can be your best friend and also your worst enemy, right? Like that, this after lunch session can be the best friend and also the worst enemy. Why? Worst enemy? Pretty clear, right? Because most of you are probably going to hear the class. My expectation is here. So, I'm pretty okay. But, you know, after lunch usually means you prepare for the evening session by taking a nap, right? And it's also the best time because I can say practically anything and it doesn't register because it's after lunch. So I could speak about the stock market or anything. It doesn't really matter. Oh, it's being recorded? Shucks. Okay, well, thank you very much for being here. It is after lunch. I'm going to try to make it somewhat interactive, not completely, because I thought there is an interactive session tomorrow by Mother Himangi, and she's going to make it guaranteed very enlivening and so forth. So this is maybe just some interaction, but some theory as well, a little bit of integration, okay? So I picked this topic. Marj had asked me to do a little session here and pick a topic related to yes to Krishna. I picked this topic saying yes even when it hurts so much. And the reason I picked it is because, well, I had a choice of several, and the reason I picked it is because it's not uncommon for me to experience this. And I've noticed that it's not uncommon for devotees that I interact with also to experience, you know, feeling hurt. So there are, in our scriptures, they say tapatraya, right? There's three major categories of misery in this world. I'm from St. Louis, the state of misery, I mean Missouri, so I'm very familiar with these things. There's three categories. What are the three categories of miseries? Adhyatmik, Adibhautik, Adidevik. And those are the miseries of Adhyatmik, one's own body and mind, Adidevik, nature. Our miseries from Adidevik has been pretty good this weekend. It's supposed to rain, but not rain, which is nice. And Adibhautik, other living entities, right? Where do you think this falls in? Feeling hurt. Adhyatmik? Well, you could say Adhyatmik. What's that? You could say that too, but primarily Adibhautik, other living entities. So I'm taking one of those three categories and one category within one of those three categories is what I'm focusing on. Feeling hurt. And how to say yes to Krishna when we experience that. Okay? So that's, I'm sort of very focused. It's not a broad sort of situation that we're going to be addressing today. So, first thing what I'd like everyone to do, if you don't mind, if you're willing to engage with me a little bit during the session, is identify your situation. Meaning, write down, if you have a piece of paper, great. If you have your phones, you can use that. And if you have neither, try to do it in your mind. And if you're checked out, that's okay too. It's after lunch, like I said. So go ahead and write down, take a minute, and think about a situation for yourself where either recently or currently you're experiencing some pain, some hurt. Okay? If it's not you, I mean, if you don't have anything to share in this regard, I mean, you won't be asked to share, by the way. This is completely for yourself. Think about a friend or a person you're helping in Krishna consciousness, or, you know, even a senior that you might know who is experiencing some hurt. Okay? Take a minute and do that, please. Right? I'm going to move on. Hopefully, at least you've got some sense of what that situation might be. So who has the microphone? So what generally hurts us? You don't have to give your particular example. You could kind of give a general, what hurts us? Thoughts? Anyone? The mind, that's a general. Can you make it more specific? What hurts us? What are some situations that might hurt us?
The mind just blows things out of proportion.
Mind blows things out of proportion, okay. Anything more specific? Yeah?
Can somebody put something bad to you?
Okay. Can you take the mic?
So words, when somebody says something bad about you or misunderstanding about a situation.
Okay, so that's two.
Yeah.
Harsh words.
Yes.
And when somebody misunderstands you,
yes,
that can be hurtful, whether they say harsh words or not. Very good.
When somebody deceives us, when we believe that...
Somebody's deceived you. That's
yeah,
a nice one. Betrayed you? Deceived you?
Yeah, maybe our...
Cheated you?
Yeah, cheated or deceived. We trust them, but they sometimes deceive.
Someone's broken your trust.
Yeah.
Okay. Not fun stuff. Yes, Mathirji, today.
When somebody judges you, especially when, like family member.
When someone close to you judges you? Yeah.
Yes.
They think you're very energetic. That's the best judgment ever. This young lady in the front. Oh, sorry, I'm sorry, I didn't see you. Go ahead.
When I'm not loud for or cared for.
When you're not loved?
Not loved or cared for.
Very nice. When you're feeling not loved or not cared for, you feel hurt, yeah? Seems like it's all on this side, man. We're like, you know, impervious to this stuff, right? We're Superman. Never feel hurt. Anyway.
By the way,
this is only for the ladies, so.
I was going to say, when you're like and trying to be in association and you're not really fitting in, or they're judging you, I guess, and keeping you out, I guess, you know what I mean? Like you're not.
Okay, so
they're not accepting you. They're not
group.
Accepting you, exactly.
Okay, fantastic, very good. Would any of you venture? Oh, look at that. Oh man. Hurt?
I say, oh, what hurt me more than anything, what just hurts the worst, is when I hurt someone else. If I deceive them in some way, or it's just, my conscience is the worst punisher.
Fantastic. Very nice. We're actually going to touch on this today. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Falling short, like coming up short for a goal, like if you set a goal and you don't achieve that goal,
fantastic,
or something of that nature.
The Bhagavatam talks about, by the way, I'm going to show some examples of some of what you all have shared as well. I'm convinced that all of our situations that we feel hurt, or practically any situation in life where we need to be, to grow from, is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So yeah, like that, where you feel like you're not achieving the goal you're meeting, you feel lamenting inside and hurts you for, because you have a standard for yourself and you don't meet up to it. Very good. Maybe one more and then we'll end, and we'll move on. Yes, ma'am, please.
When we feel we are not understood properly.
Yes. Very good. She also mentioned feeling misunderstood. That's a big one.
I can add one more then.
Sure.
And saying no to what I wanted. Huh? When I want something and I hear no for it. No.
You want something and you tell yourself no.
No.
Oh.
If I hear no, then I hear.
If you want something and somebody else says no. So if you want a cookie from the cookie jar and your husband says no.
It hurts.
Something like that.
That's even more hurtful.
That's even worse. Okay. So how about this one? I was not informed. I'm not in the loop when I should be. Right? People don't, I'm supposed to be told and I'm not told. Do you know which story this is, by the way? This is, you want to say? Oh. This is Dhritarashtra and this is Sanjaya. And when Dhritarashtra got the sauce, he left. And after that, Sanjaya was like, I served him for so long. I was such a dedicated servant. And he just left without even telling me. Not in the loop. You feel hurt. And he was crying. And he actually says, I felt cheated. This is a common one, feeling misunderstood and you feel hurt. Who was misunderstood? Chitraketu was misunderstood. Parvati thought, and she loves her husband. Of course, she's the most chaste lady. She loves Lord Shiva so much. And that when somebody seems to even say something bad about her husband, I don't know if it's true for the ladies today, but this is how she felt. Someone said something remotely bad about her husband. She got so upset, she cursed him to become a demon. That is how much she loved her husband. But he didn't mean to say anything bad. He was actually glorifying Lord Shiva. And he was cursed. Someone said about judging, right? Judging you to be very wonderful or something like that. This is maybe being judged as crazy or lazy. Anyone know this story? Raghugana and Jadabharat, right? Jadabharat was actually the most exalted personality. He didn't want to step on ants. And King Raghugana said, you crazy. He called him crazy. He said, you're a madman. And he also said, you're lazy. How about this one? Do you ever feel like your service is being interfered with? You're serving out prasadam, somebody bumps you and says, I'm going to serve up prasadam. I've had that happen to me before. No, some people are like, oh, awesome, you go ahead, right? And go right ahead. But sometimes when you're doing a service, you get attached to the service and somebody bumps you. You know? Anyone know what this story is? That's the son of Prithu. And that's Indra stealing the horse at the horse sacrifice. So Prithu Maharaj was about to do his 100th horse sacrifice. And right at the 100th horse sacrifice, Indra stole the horse. Because he's the only one who has done 100 horse sacrifices in the past. And out of pride and out of insecurity, he didn't want to let go of that position. So he made sure, he went undercover, he made sure that he stole the horse and he ran away. And here's Prithu Maharaj's son trying to check him. And actually, by the way, Prithu felt very, very disturbed by it. And he's a personality of Godhead, an incarnation, a Shaktivesh-avatar of Krishna. Another nice example of one's service being interfered with, the Yamadutas. Their guru told them they should do that particular service, right? Go take care of the sinful people. And some other disciples of some other guru come and they take away the service and they stop his service and they disturb the Yamadutas so much. The Yamadutas go back to their guru and they say, Yamaraj, what did you send us there for? How can you be doing this? You're supposed to be the supreme. Is there another supreme besides you? I thought you're the only guru in ISKCON. You're the only... You get the point. Someone's feelings are not honored or cared for. Right? You were saying that? This is your point. When you feel like your service is not good enough, you feel sad, woe is me. This is Yudhishthira Maharaj. And when all the people died in the war of Kurukshetra, he felt deeply aggrieved because he didn't do good service. Another time when Dhritarashtra left also, Yudhishthira Maharaj felt the same kind of feeling. Oh, I did not treat them well. What is Mother Gandhari, who's lost all her sons, going to do? So he was feeling a lot of anxiety and a lot of, in fact, hurt. How about this? My service is not acknowledged. Any of you experience that sometimes? I spent 3 hours cleaning the bathrooms at Gitanagari. Nobody noticed. Maybe I should go out in my overalls so that people see that I'm... So we say, oh, you clean the bathrooms. Thank you. Nice service, Prabhuji or Mataji. Right? This story of Devahuti, for thousands of years, she was the most beautiful lady. The princess of the king of the earth, Swayambhuva Manu. And she was in a forest serving her husband, Kadha Muni, very dedicatedly for thousands of years. He didn't notice her. He didn't even say, oh, you're wearing a new sari today. Didn't acknowledge at all. Her glory is that she didn't feel hurt. But we can see how, you know, these examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam are very instructive. I went out of my way and no reciprocation, rather criticism. Which story is this? Daksha. And Narada Muni, right? What did Narada do? He made 10,000 sons devotees, so they all could go back home back to Godhead. He made another 1,000 sons devotees, so they all could go back to Godhead. And isn't that what we're trying to do for our children? And what did Daksha say? Do you remember? You pretend to be a sadhu? You're not a sadhu. I'm the sadhu. You're a sadhu. And he cursed him. Betrayal. This is Kaikeyi. And she betrayed the trust and love that her son Bharat had for her. And when she sent Ram to the forest, how Bharat felt, the hurt Bharat felt for his own mother, coming from his own mother, was so intense. And many sages tried to pacify him, including Bharadwaj Muni and others. And Bharat couldn't handle it. He cursed his mother. She said, she's a witch. Don't even look at her. Don't even, you know, because people were asking as he went to find Ram, who is this lady with you? She's a witch. My mother, but she's a witch. He felt so hurt. How about this one? Have you experienced a senior devotee maybe being harsh with you sometimes? This is a common one too. I'm being ignored. Not even a Hare Krishna. Anyone know which story this one is? Brihaspati, right. Brihaspati coming into the assembly of Indra, and he was the guru of Indra. And Indra saw him and didn't acknowledge him. Brihaspati said, "I'm Arya, you just left." Okay, so how do we generally respond? I'm saying no to Krishna. How do we generally respond when we feel hurt? There's different ways. If I had more time, we'd have a little more interaction, but I'll just go. One is, why me? Have you ever seen sometimes two devotees, they, you know, purposely avoid each other? Somehow, just stay away. Oh, the other person, leave me. You know, just kind of stay away so you don't even have to say Hare Krishna. Silent treatment. And in fact, sometimes silent treatment is a way to get back. It's a revenge. Because if I give them silent treatment, let them feel hurt by my not acknowledging their presence. Because they've hurt me. Sometimes that happens in families, in between husband and wife too. And maybe rarely, but sometimes that happens. Revenge. It says because, maybe you can't see it at the back there, it says because your computer was more important than a walk. So the dog is peeing on the computer. No word spoken, but you can tell from the eyes. Sometimes we just distance ourselves. Go away, far away. Don't deal with it. Sometimes, you know, when there's abusive situations, this is good. But not always. And this is a, you know, they say fight or flight. This is a flight. Just head out. We tell others about it. Oh, you know, that person is so mean. Or we don't even talk about that situation. We'll find some other flaw in the person, somehow trying to squeeze out some flaw and tell others. And sometimes we just lock it up. Are you okay? I'm fine. Inside there's help, sad, depressed, cry, please. Not well. Okay. So these are different ways that when we say no to Krishna, this is how it manifests. So there may be more, but these are a few that I thought of. Now is your question for everyone. Who is the I that got hurt? When you think of I, when you say, I got hurt, I'm in pain. That person hurt me. When we say me or we say I, who's that? False ego. False ego is a person? Maybe we could take the mic, please. Go ahead. Explain a little bit more than false ego.
It's what we feel within our mind. Our mind tells my false ego should be nurtured. Someone should respect me. I should be the center. So that's the I.
Okay. The I is that I should be in the center. And I should get, okay. Thank you very much. Some others? Thoughts on what is it, who's the I that's getting hurt? Raise your hand if you don't mind so we can make sure that you have the mic and everybody can hear you.
Sense of identity.
Yeah. For example?
I'm a good devotee.
We know that, but...
For some reason, if that gets hurt, according to my expectations, then...
What is this good devotee supposed to get? Respect?
Yeah, respect. Honor.
Honor.
Appreciation.
Alright. Yes, ma'am.
I'm trying to understand from Mataji, I'm trying to add.
The good devotee? Oh, you want to add?
Okay. You know, like when she said identity, I said when we identify like I'm a woman or mother or wife.
When you identify yourself as a woman.
With
as
a body,
wife,
identity. What identity I give to myself, if that was pointed out, then I start feeling offended. Or like if I feel that I'm a good woman, then if somebody tells that I'm not doing my duty, something like that. If I identify myself with the...
Prabhuji, in the back.
So when I have certain set of needs, you know, I need to be loved, I need to be cared, I need to be respected. So if my needs are not met, I'm hurt.
When your needs are not met, then you feel, then that's the I that gets hurt or whatever that. So you identify, to your point, identify with those needs as you. Okay? We have expectations. And those expectations that we might have, you see, we cannot not live with expectations, right? Somebody was saying, earlier Mataji was saying that expectations are bad. But can we really live without expectations? We can. Why? Because we're spirit souls that have desires. And as soon as you have a desire, you have an expectation. Because desire and expectation goes together. The problem is, we tie our internal wholesomeness to those expectations. Our sense of my well-being is based upon fulfilling those expectations. Like we see Srila Prabhupada, for example. He had so many expectations from his disciples. Double the sales of magazines, right? Sorry. Haribo. Double the sales of magazines and, you know, spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. He kind of drove his disciples. He had expectations from them. But his sense of well-being or his wholesomeness was not connected to those expectations or fulfilling those expectations. His security in his relationship with Krishna was intact. Right? So when we tie our internal well-being to those expectations, that's when we become vulnerable to becoming hurt. There's one more thing I want to share. This is something that Bhurijan Prabhu has taught, and I think it's really wonderful, it's deep. Where does the feeling of hurt reside? Okay, the mind. So the feeling of hurt is in the mind. And the issue is that we have this thing called false ego. A designation or an identification that's not really us. The mind has a function of protecting the false ego. The mind likes to have duality. The mind likes honor and dishonor. Why? Because it protects, it takes care of this identity that I'm a good devotee. Or something else. I'm the man. I'm the husband. I'm the wife. I'm the president of the United States. Or something. Some identity that we have. And then the mind likes to attach itself to emotions. Positive and negative dualities. To protect that identity. And that's the issue. So saying yes to Krishna. When we're feeling hurt, that's which guna is that? Sattva guna? Or rajaguna or it's tamaguna, right? It's tamaguna. Tama means darkness, right? And so if you're in a well, you're in dark, how do you get out? So I want to share, there's probably more, but here's four thoughts on how do we get out of the tamaha of feeling hurt. The first is to manage expectations. The second is to pay attention to the right person. This is really interesting. What's the full story? And the fourth is, get help! Okay. So we'll go through these and we'll recap them at the end. Okay. Transitioning from feeling hurt to saying yes to Krishna. Expectation management. So, Our teachings, our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy explains that we are spiritual beings. We're not humans having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience, right? We've entered into a body, a human body, and that human body is in this world to get purified. However, when we're born, we don't get taught these things. When we're born and then we start to live the world, everybody around us kind of trains us to think that the world we live in is actually a nice hotel. Isn't it? We're trained, we're ingrained with this idea that the world we live in is a hotel where you have to enjoy. Find your best area within this world and enjoy. You have a nice, make a nice room. And you know what? You can even do this. You put a sign outside the door. Do not disturb. So nobody can hurt me. Don't disturb. That's how we were trained. That the world is a hotel. And that's the expectation. The problem is that expectation completely is opposite to what Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. He says, Dukhalayam Ashashvatam and Anityam Asukam Lokam. Twice in the Bhagavad Gita, he has declared that this world we live in is not a hotel. Dukhalayam. Dukhalayam means, alaya means like a place, right? Dukhalayam means a place of misery, misery. And Ashashvatam. What does Ashashvatam mean? Temporary. It's miserable because it's temporary. And the second reference here in the Bhagavad Gita, he says Anityam. Anityam also means temporary. And Asukam. Asukam means misery. This place is certified. It's like cigarettes. Cigarettes have a little disclaimer. This stuff is injurious to health. It'll kill you. Right? People don't see it. They still smoke. And they keep smoking. And they don't pay attention to this, the fine print in the bottom. This stuff will kill you. The world we live in is like that. It's not meant to be a hotel. Rather, what's the world like where we live in? It's like a hospital. Now I know some people, I a relative, they actually like hospitals. Now that's a different story altogether. There's something wrong there. I'm not going to psychoanalyze what's wrong there, but something wrong there. Somebody like, you know, people like hospitals. Some people do. And it's not a nice room that we live in. Sometimes we are in some major operation. And we can't put out a do not disturb sign because, you know, the nurse or the doctor is going to walk in and stick us with an injection. No, I don't want that. No, you need it. That's the world we live in. Bhujan Prabhu, in his book, the Japa book, he says that the universe is designed to make us suffer. It was like, you know, cherry-picked to make the exact formation. Why? To make us suffer. And in this suffering condition, what we need to realize is that the pain that we're experiencing in the hospital is actually for what? Let's say they stick us with an injection. It's actually for our own benefit. It's hurtful. It's actually for our own benefit. And in the hospital, is everybody else who's in the hospital like really nice and well and wonderful and all of that? Everybody else is sick. There's a few, you know, doctors there called ISKCON gurus and advanced devotees. But most of the people are sick. So to expect, again, the topic we're dealing with here is expectation management. To expect that everybody around me is going to be, you know, nice and healthy is a little, forgive the word, silly. Isn't it? So somebody would like to read this? Who has a microphone? Oh, anyone like to read this? This is a quote from Sri Prabhupada. Go ahead.
To become diseased is not our normal life. To remain healthy is our normal life. When we become diseased, that is abnormal condition of life. Therefore, we want to treat, get out of the disease. Similarly, this material life is the diseased condition of the living being. We are all living beings, but because we have accepted this material body, we are suffering.
Somebody else? Vincent?
Thanks. These material pains and pleasure, they are simply touching this body, not the soul. Soul is always aloof. Just like we are on a car, the car is broken. But because the driver or the proprietor of the car is too much adhered to the car, when the car is broken, his heart fails. He thinks, I am finished. His heart is broken, like that.
So this is the problem with feeling heartbroken. We think we're the car. Oh, by the way, if anybody wants to stop me in between or add something or ask something, feel free, okay? Nobody stands taller than those willing to stand corrected. Here's the thing about Krishna consciousness is that the analogy I like to think of is, anyone see Superman? Movie before? Superman? He's flying and, sometimes he's flying against some really heated area, right? Like that, when we're thinking of going to Krishna, it's like entering into the sun. Prabhupada would use this example. So when you're flying into the sun, all of that heat is burning away stuff. And so the experiences that we go through in life, and all that list of things that we went through in terms of how we feel hurt, is primarily so that we can burn off impurities. That's the point. And we have to be willing to be corrected, willing to be adjusted, willing to be reformed, willing to say, I know for certain in this circumstance there's a lesson for me because Krishna's behind it. There's got to be something for me to learn from this. What is that sweet, wonderful, awesome reformation message lesson that I can take for myself and grow from it? That's what this world is about. That's what the hospital is there for. Every move within the hospital, if it's a good hospital, sometimes they stick injections on you for no reason. But if it's a good hospital, they're giving you medication because you need it. Similarly, the world that we live in, we're getting the surgery, perpetual surgery, because we need it. So the question for ourselves is, are we ready? Are we really ready to go to Krishna? Are we willing to be corrected? Are we willing to receive these wonderful opportunities to grow? Okay. Next point. So the first one is expectation management. The second is, are we paying attention to the right person? What's missing in that picture? What's that? No listening, that's missing. Okay. What else is missing? Huh? The middle portion? Okay. Yeah, what should go in the middle portion? Kids? I guess they legalized the two men, right? Is that a woman? Looks like a man to me. That was totally unexpected. Expectation management, yes. Meant for each other? How many times have we heard, who should we center in our relationships? We forgot about Krishna. The person who's hurting, let's say, is actually, look who's behind the show, that smile, that smirk, the sweet eye that's glancing. There's a plan. Are we paying attention to the right person? Okay, some quotes from Prabhupada. It's not that, by the way, Shishi Radha Damodar Ki Jai. So Krishna has these two features. He's all loving and he's all powerful. And part of the problem why we don't see Krishna is because there isn't sufficient, or let's say, we may see Krishna but not sufficiently, because trust in Krishna and Krishna's position and Krishna's nature is not fully understood. Like Nityan Prabhupada was saying, right? Janma karma chame devyam yomim, sir, finish it for me. No, janma karma chame devyam yo tatvataha tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mama. So if you know Krishna in truth, like who is Krishna? I'll put my back to the deities, but if you know that he is actually in control and that he actually has loving feelings for us, he's lovingly disposed towards us, then we can more readily accept this situation. Okay. Somebody like to read quickly, please? Volunteer? Okay, Yolanda.
To cut off the tie of all other affections does not mean complete negation of the finer elements like affection for someone else. This is not possible. A living being, whoever he may be, must have this feeling of affection for others, because this is a symptom of life. The symptoms of life, such as desire, anger, hankerings, feeling of attraction, etc., cannot be annihilated. Only the objective has to be changed. Desire cannot be negated.
You know, when impersonalists experience hurt, you know what they say? This world is completely miserable. It doesn't even exist. You don't exist. I just obliterate my source of hurt and you're done. What Prabhupada says here, and this is Queen Kunti's prayer to Krishna, please allow you to, please come right in the center between the relationship between me and my sons. I don't want to have this sneha pasham, this bondage of affection for my sons who are really your parts and parcels. Next, somebody else?
In devotional service, the desire is changed only for the service of the Lord in place of desire for sense gratification. The so-called affection for family, society, country, etc. consists of different phases of sense gratification. When this desire is changed for the satisfaction of the Lord, it is called devotional service.
Okay. So, the key is, Krishna is in the center. The real attention should be placed on Krishna. So when we interact with others, well, I didn't make this point earlier. Actually, the persons that we feel generally most hurt by is not some guy on the street. It's actually persons who we're most close to. Because we make ourselves vulnerable to those who we're most close to. So, when the times are good, what we need to practice is practice putting Krishna in the center of those relationships while the going is good. And through that practice, then when there is something, because people are conditioned, there's something that might hurt us, there's an anchor. So more than making ourselves vulnerable to conditioned souls, what we really need to make ourselves vulnerable to is Guru, Shastra, the holy name, Srimad Bhagavatam. When we read Srimad Bhagavatam or when we chant the holy name, one question we can ask ourselves, how vulnerable am I to the words coming from Srimad Bhagavatam? How vulnerable am I to the holy name? Building a relationship with Krishna through these various agencies of Krishna. And in that way, when we're strengthened, because we have to be vulnerable ultimately, but who we become vulnerable to is important. This is something that, this is a paper that my spiritual master had written, Rompa Swami, called Japa and Self-Honesty, something that has really inspired me in my own japa, is the following. He writes, we're fully and eternally related with Krishna on the spiritual platform. Fully and eternally related with Krishna. It's so beautiful. That means we don't, that relationship is primary and it's like whole, it's full, we don't need necessarily another relationship besides our relationship with God. And if we're not pure devotees, as we're not on the prema stage, that relationship is to some degree or another broken. And brokenness in various ways characterizes everything else. So feelings of hurt, disappointment, dejection, lamentation come from this brokenness of our relationship with Krishna. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, when we're chanting japa, we can take these situations of life, we can take the situations of life that we may be feeling disturbed about to some degree and chant japa with that mood to say, I'm going to solve the real problem. How many of you experience when you chant japa, your mind goes to different problems? The rest are pretty attentive, right? It's fine. It's absolutely okay for the mind to go to a problem. But the encouragement is to take the mind to the real problem, the root problem, and that root problem is we've broken our relationship with Krishna. And with that faith, chant the holy name. Knowing that all other brokenness I experience is because of that broken problem. Lord Brahma says it very wonderfully, and this is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We cannot have a discussion about how to say yes to Krishna without Lord Brahma's nice example. The text is a little small, so I will skip reading it. He basically says, hey, what I'm experiencing, Atma Kritam. It's my own doing. And I'm not going to waste my energy trying to solve it. Rather, what I'm going to do is take my entire energy onto you, Krishna. So he's got it in the sense that he knows that that is his real problem, his relationship with Krishna needs to be strengthened. Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, a pure devotee is never disturbed in any circumstance, nor is he envious of anyone, nor does a devotee become his enemy's enemy. He thinks, this person is acting as my enemy due to my own past misdeeds. So it's better to suffer than to protest. So this is interesting. Something that I and others have observed in the communities that we live in, is that sometimes we just don't have the full story. In other words, the hurt that we might be feeling is illusion. Single biggest problem in communication is that illusion has taken place. So we saw in the story of Chitraketu and Parvati, right? She thought he communicated what he wanted, and she got an inside vision into his feelings. But she was completely wrong. So sometimes we might be carrying hurt. It might be completely unnecessary. You know this elephant story, right? Some people can only see parts of the elephant. So we may not know all of the layers of things going on for another person. Their aspirations, their values, their situations of life that they might be dealing with. And so they are so absorbed in some challenge that you walk past them and they don't say Hare Krishna. It's not a big deal. But we might feel hurt by that. This is a nice quote from Rumpa Swami. He says, "It is said that if we were to understand the suffering of others, we could easily forgive them. Supposing someone is so damaged inside for reasons, circumstances, and degrees of damage unknown to us, that they act out of their pain and exchanges with others, can we not forgive them?" This is something I learned from Burijan Prabhu, his disciple, Brajbihari Prabhu. In any communication, we are aware of our intentions and we are aware of another person's impact on us. What we're not aware of is the other person's intentions, and we are not aware of our impact on another person. So we should be careful to see their person's impact and then judge what the other person's intentions are, because they may not be aligned. We're not aware of it. This is where offense comes in. You know this whole offense thing we talk about so much? This is where offense comes in, because we judge another person's intentions, but we really don't know. So this is a common communication theory sort of principle. About 10 years ago, here in Gita Nagari, Maharaj was speaking from this verse, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarori Vasahishnana, Amanina, Manadena. When he was speaking about Amanina, not receiving honor, he said something that caught my attention. I meditated on it for 10 years. It's true. It's more common to be misunderstood than understood. Anyone know what this term means? Fundamental attribution error. Anyone know what fundamental attribution error means? No? So this is a common thing in America. They teach it even in high school. So you see someone having some negative behavior. The fundamental attribution error is you think that the other person, let me give you a simple example. Okay? So let's pick on someone here. Rajaratna Prabhu. Rajaratna Prabhu came late for class. You didn't, but let's say you came late for class. For him, he'll think, "I came late for class because, I have so many things to do. I have children to take care of, etc., etc." Right? It was situational. When I look at him and say, he came late for class because he's lazy, and he's sleepy, and he doesn't really want to be there, but he's somehow being there. So for ourselves, we blame the situation, and for others, we blame their nature. It's called fundamental attribution error. Okay? And some people just have good intentions, and ultimately it causes bad results. Get help. So this is the last. How to deal with feeling hurt. So we know this story. So Ruchi, who was the most favorite queen of King Uttanapad, he had two wives, Suruchi and Suniti. Suruchi means very beautiful. Suniti means very moral, very ethical. Sometimes, men, I tell you, they like the Suruchi better than the Suniti. So he liked the Suruchi better, the more beautiful lady. And sometimes beauty has its issues. She certainly had hers. When Dhruva wanted to sit on top of King Uttanapad, his father wanted him to sit, but he saw that his wife was in the assembly. And he knew how she would react. Sometimes men get scared of their wives. It's very rare, but sometimes. And he didn't want to acknowledge Dhruva. He didn't want to bring him onto his lap. And when she saw Dhruva wanting his father's attention, she, out of Bhagavatam says, deep envy and pride, she blasted Dhruva, blasted a 5-year-old boy. She said, You didn't come out of my womb. How dare you even think of sitting on the throne? He just wanted to sit on his lap. It got nothing to do with being king. But she was already thinking, you can't be king. If you want to be king, look, go find Purusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, pray to him, engage in austerities, enter my womb in your next life, come out, and then you can consider sitting on the throne. Until then, get out of there. So the poor Dhruva looks up to his father for some help. This is the sometimes when people in position or people in a caregiving situation don't act, it's so detrimental. Dhruva was feeling hurt. If it was like Bhagavatam describes, he was like, you know, you step on a snake and the snake goes, he was so angry like that, he was hissing. And she, when he saw, he was just angry at that point, but when he saw his father, and his father was just sanavachaha, he said, quiet, he didn't do anything. He was so hurt at that point. Tears like flowed from his eyes like anything. He was crying. At that point, he ran away. And who did he go to? Suniti. Very moral, very ethical. And she, when she put him on his lap, other people told her what happened in the palace. And she was feeling so aggrieved herself. She felt like she was in a forest that was burning. And she felt like a dried leaf in the forest. She didn't know. She was thinking, what should we do? What should we do? What should we do? She didn't know what to do. Then finally she decided to say something. And she told Dhruva, this is the mother she was. Listen. She said two things initially. She said, ma amangalam. Ma means don't. Amangal, don't think of anything inauspicious for anyone else. She was hurting. Can you imagine your son being spoken to like that? She said, don't think inauspicious about anyone else. And then she said, the pain that she is the pain she's inflicting upon others is pain that she is experiencing too, to your point. She said that to him. Something that my spiritual master said is that, this is a quote from Think Exist. It says that life feeds back through it to people in their own way and time. We don't have to interfere with that. Okay? So she said that to him. Then she said, you know what? She's right. That the only way you can solve this problem is you go to Vishnu. Why? Brahma, your great-grandfather, he was successful. He prayed to Vishnu and he's become the creator of the world. Your grandfather, Swayambhuva Manu, he achieved liberation by serving Vishnu. I recommend that you take all your attention to Vishnu. This is the kind of help we need. When you're feeling hurt, you know, reach out to someone who can give you this kind of advice. A devotee. She was a very wonderful devotee. And Dhruva, this is important, because sometimes when we go request for some help, we want immediate resolution, right? Fix it immediately. It's like during the Nityananda Prabhu's session, somebody was saying, immediate results. He didn't get immediate results from his mother. All he got was directional. And 6 months later, after some refinement from Narada, what he should do, he got the result. And the result was absolutely no revengeful feelings or hard feelings towards his stepmother or to his brother. That was the beauty of this story. So he got good advice, but again, it wasn't immediate. It was something that took some time because he applied himself to the process of devotional service. Okay? So these are pictures of Dhruva and his mother. And my time is up. So what were the four things we talked about? Saying yes even when you're hurting. The first one was managing expectations. Next one, pay attention to the right person. Right? Third one, get the full story. And the last one,
get help.
Okay. So that's my time. It's 4:15, 4:17. I wanted to encourage you, everyone, because we have some time before Maharaj's class. What you can do is a free writing exercise. Write a personal note to the Lord of your heart, expressing your lessons learned and how you wish to move forward. So based on what we started with, you know, the feeling of hurt that either you or a friend, you know, is experiencing some kind of hurt. If it's a friend, what would you advise them? And if it's your own hurt feelings, write a personal note to the Lord. Take 5 minutes and do that, if you don't mind. This is my humble request. And don't over-contemplate, just write. And hopefully, from some, you know, mercy, it transitions from that to that kind of crying. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.